can stay in Luke. Turn over a page. Before I start reading, I'd like to say the purpose of why Mary said that all the generations are going to call her blessed. Historically, ever since the time of the prophets explaining to the nation of Israel that God had called, telling them that there is a Savior coming, a Messiah is coming. It was the sincere desire and hope, wish of every little girl that was born in the nation of Israel to be the mother of the Messiah. Historically, you can find that out. And God chose Mary. God chose Mary. There wasn't anything special about her, but she found favor. In God's eyes. And she did have a son. And they did call him Jesus. And he did save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Chapter 2 of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree, or a law, from Caesar Augustus. That would be like the president of the region. For us today, that might be a decree that went out by President Trump, or that, well, it would be harder because this man was a king. And you did whatever the king said. Not quite like our president. That all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Wherever he was born, or the city of their nativity, that's where they went. It was one of the ways that they did to help them get a census of how many people were there. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Y'all know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough. It's not some little cute little bassinet that they have at these live nativity scenes. You know why the animals were around? It's because it was where the animals fed. That's why the animals were there for you young kids. If you've never seen a feeding trough, that's where they put the hay and all the other feed in there to feed them with. That's where they laid them because they didn't have any other place. Now Mary and Joseph were poor. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now y'all remember, I hope you remember, in the laws of redemption, God made it a serious point that you were to redeem your firstborn to the Lord. That means that you had to pay the priest money. So that's what they did. And they didn't have much, so they gave what they had. A turtle dove and 2 young pigeons was for the poor people. That's what they paid the priest to fulfill that part of the law to redeem him. It says him that all those that open the matrix are born shall be redeemed of the Lord. Now, that's where they were. That's what they were doing. They went to the temple to do this. Doing what was required them. It was Mary's child, but they took him to do the service that was obligated upon them. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That sounds kind of strange, don't it? The Lord's Christ. Christ means anointed, the chosen one, the Messiah. It's the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Simeon then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This man, Simeon, waited for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for something before the angel had the Holy Ghost had revealed it to him that he shouldn't see death. He was still waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then when the angel, I don't know how long he waited after the Holy Ghost appeared unto him and told him that he wouldn't see death. But I tell you what, I'd be waiting after I had heard that I was going to see him in my lifetime. I'd be waiting every day with bated breath to see the Messiah. Can just imagine that he was told by the Holy Ghost that you're going to see the Messiah before you die. It doesn't say that Simeon was a priest. It says that he was a just and devout man, and he went up to the temple while they were doing their business according to the law. God works on both ends, don't he? He worked on Simeon's end, and he worked on the other end with Joseph and Mary, and they met there at the temple. By chance. No, not by chance. Oh, Simeon, you've seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon said, I'm at peace now. It's accomplished. I've seen my Lord. I've seen thy salvation. He didn't say it was his, but it was his. But it wasn't sent from Simeon. Simeon didn't have part or lot in the coming of Christ. But he knew that he was there for him, for his consolation. Oh, Simeon, I can just see him. Take me on. It ain't going to get no better than this. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Here's what I want. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He is set. He said that this is a sign. You know, one sign had already come to pass, right? That he was born of a virgin. They found him. He told the shepherds that there was a sign. You'd see him in a manger. That's two signs. What does the word set mean? Behold, this child is set. The word set means a foundation. You know, when they pour concrete, it gets a little, it's a still a little fluid until what? Until it gets set. Until it sets up. You make Jell-O. I mean, Jell-O is not all that strong of a foundation, but it certainly has to set before you serve it, right? Set. By God's intention to be appointed or destined. Simeon says, this child is destined. He's destined to be a foundation. He's destined by God's intention. And what is he set for? The fall and rising again of many in Israel. Now I submit to you that he's talking about two separate groups of people. I submit to you that Jesus Christ is both the foundation, rock, and he's appointed for the fall of some and the rising of others. This word fall, only out of all the times that the word fall is used in this book, this word fall only appears twice. The Greek word for this word fall only appears twice. You know the other time that it's used? You can go to the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said that there was a man that built his house upon the sand. And when the storms came and the winds blew and the rain beat vehemently on it, or hard, that house fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus is set for the fall of something. He's also set for the rising of some. I tell you that he's set for the fall of several things. I think not only he's set for the falling down of individuals that stumbled at that stone or foundation, the rock, but he was set for the fall of a system of government, of religion, and rising again of many in Israel. You ever wondered about, I've read over that for years. Years I've read over this, never paid it any attention. I started paying attention to it. Set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. That's not the only thing he's set for. He's appointed for the fall One group is going to be offended at him. They're going to fall. They're going to stumble at the stumbling stone. I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it? And some are going to get back up. And they're going to walk. He set for the rising again. There's so many scriptures that go into this, but he says in Matthew 4 and 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now what do you do when you sit down and then you stand up? Do you rise? Do you get up? That's called a rising, isn't it? You lay down in your bed sleeping, and then you rise. Early to bed, early to rise. You rise up. You get up. That's what these people, they had no reason to get up when they were in the valley and the shadow of death, did they? They had no reason to get up. There was no reason. I don't like walking around in the dark, do you? I don't. It's dangerous to walk in the dark. But this man, when he came, Jesus was a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of his people Israel, Simeon said. And when Jesus came as the light of God, the Lamb of God, that shined light on those people, they began to get up and walk and rise in his kingdom. And so Jesus is set for both of these people, both of these groups. He's set for them. But that's not the only thing he's set for. What else is he set for? He's for a sign. He says that for a sign which shall be spoken against. What did they speak against? They spoke against, people still speak against his birth being immaculate. They still try to make scientific ways that would explain how that, erroneously, how that Joseph and Mary came together some way, but any way other than God's way, they'll try to explain. They'll try to speak against it. But what did they speak against? I'm telling you, the whole time that Jesus Christ spoke, they spoke against and contradicted him, didn't they? Some of them did. Some of them did. Not all of them. Not all of them. For a sign to be spoken against. You know what the biggest sign was that they spoke against? No, his person and his resurrection. Those are the two biggest things that they spoke against. They spoke against him calling himself God, right? Making himself God when he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." They said, "Oh, can anybody forgive sins except for God? So you must be calling yourself God." Well, he was. That's exactly what he was doing. Not only that, you remember after he was resurrected? You remember what they did? They paid them money. Those that were there, they said, "You go and you tell them, you spread it around that his disciples came and stole him out of there, not that he rose again." They still say it, don't they? People still speak against the person and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They still do it. Now, but that's not all that he was assigned for. Jesus said, you know, the Pharisees, they sought a sign, didn't they? They sought a sign. And Jesus, what did he say? He said, there is going to be no sign given to this generation except for this. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, or great fish, for 3 days, in 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. That is your sign. That's all you need. That's all you need. They're still speaking against that sign, aren't they? Just to read the prophecy of the sign in Isaiah 8 and 18, there's a bunch of them. Behold, I am the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. I tell you, that's not the only thing he was set for. Says that the, and I'm going to read it without the parenthetical expression, because we know certainly that a sword did pierce through Mary's soul also, don't you think? Do you know how protective mamas are for their children? Anybody does anything against your son or your daughter, what's Mama Bear going to do? Mama Bear's going to start growling, ain't she? Do you know how many people contradicted her son and sought to kill her son? You know how many people tried to do that? And then when she saw them spit on him, mock him, beat him, scourge him, plait a crown of thorns on his head, and condemn her innocent son to death, don't you think that a sword pierced through her soul also? Now that don't bother some people. That doesn't bother some people at all, that Jesus Christ was crucified, that He suffered the shame and despised it at the same time. It doesn't bother them that Jesus Christ was nailed to a Roman cross and hung there alive for hours. It doesn't bother them that His mother was there watching and all the disciples were. It doesn't bother them. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Period. You know, when we think about thoughts in the Scriptures, at least I do, I think of positive things. I think of people seeing the Lord high and lifted up like Isaiah did. I think of my thoughts to God. I think of David when he said, "How precious are thy thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. They're more in number than the sand." I think of the good things that God does. But you know what? It don't say the good thoughts. It says the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Did you know that Jesus did not come to make all men be at peace with one another? He said He didn't. He said, "I didn't come to send peace, but division." Division. How is that, Lord? You know what a sword does? It cuts, doesn't it? A sword cuts, and a two-edged sword cuts both ways. The thoughts of many hearts being revealed was not only those that were going to fall, but those that were going to rise again. To the one group, the ones that stand on Him as the rock, He is precious, isn't He? He's precious to those that stand upon that foundation and recognize Him as their Messiah, as their Savior, as their Jesus. You know, I like to think of Jesus as mine. Do you? I mean, I like to think of Him as yours and the Jesus of and Savior of everybody else, but it really means something to me when I call Him my Jesus. He's mine. He came to die for me. I'm glad He died for you, but I'm especially glad that He died for me. And that thought of my heart is revealed. It's the thoughts of many hearts are still being revealed. Still today. On the other hand, the thoughts and intents of the wicked are revealed also by this man being set. What, wasn't it so? They took him with wicked hands, took him and slew him. Wasn't it so that they spit on him? Wasn't it so that they said, we'll not have this man to reign over us? Wasn't it so that they said and declared before the face of God and all the people that we have no king but Caesar? You crucify that man. He's not my king. Wasn't it so? It is still true today. He still said that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Did you know Jesus is the great point of decision? He's the fulcrum of history. Since his death, isn't it? Well, really his birth. You know what a fulcrum is? I know you math men do. If you have a seesaw, y'all know what a seesaw is, don't you? You know, it's a board that's got on a little thing right here. And the fulcrum is the thing that it pivots on like that. Seesaw goes up and down. Jesus is the pivot point. He's the fulcrum. And you're either on one side of that seesaw or you're on the other one. Amen? There's no middle ground with God. Either you are or you ain't. And I can tell you that if you are building your house upon the rock, if you are building your house upon the rock, you are on God's side. And I can see it, you can see it, and others can see it, and you declare plainly, and the thoughts of your heart are revealed when you build your house on that rock. It's revealed. I'm not talking about whether you're a child of God or not. That's up to God. I'm talking about showing it. On the other hand, if you build your house on the other side of Jesus, on the seesaw part, on the other side of the seesaw, and you build your house upon the sand, guess what? You're on the fallen side. You're on the side that where your house is going to be left unto you desolate, just like those Jews were. Those scribes, those Pharisees who trusted in the shadow of death. That's what the law was, wasn't it? Paul said it was made death. He said that thing that I thought was life was made death unto me. And if you are today trusting in anything else other than Jesus Christ for your salvation, you're fallen. You're on the side of the fall, and you are doing despite to the grace of God, and you're not worshiping Him as our Savior, Jesus Christ. And your house is going to fall too. The intents of your heart are going to be revealed. The Bible puts it many different ways. 1 Corinthians, he said, you take heed what you build upon that foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hair, stubble. Those are all strange building materials. I mean, wood, hay, and stubble are what we normally think of as building materials. At least they did back then. But gold, silver, and precious stones, they even adorned their homes with, at least the temple was, with those things. If you're rich. Because fire is going to try it, right? Didn't say fire might come. He said fire is coming. Jesus Christ is sent. Do y'all see that today? I see the thoughts of many hearts being revealed by Jesus Christ. How you conduct yourself daily. What you're building your life upon. What you are trusting in. Are you trusting in something shaky as your ability for righteousness like they were? Or trusting in something altogether different like wealth or your health or your good looks? Or your job. Your money. Fire's coming. Jesus is sent for that. But you know, one day, you know, I told you Jesus is a great divider, didn't I? He's a separator. You want to know what side somebody's on? You start talking about Jesus. You'll figure out real quick what side they're on of the seesaw. One day, Jesus, when He comes back, what's He going to do? He's going to separate some folks, isn't He? He's going to separate what the Bible says are His sheep from the goats. That's everybody else.
Right.
Now, I can't say that every sheep's always going to build his house with gold, silver, and precious stones. I can't say that every sheep's going to build his house upon a rock. And God didn't give me any license to stroke their head and tell them, oh, it's okay, you're just going to go to heaven anyway. Does that get you hard? He didn't give me any license to excuse someone's building a house upon the sand. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to smooth things over and say to you, peace, peace, when there is no peace. I don't have the authority to do that. But you know what? One of these days He's going to say, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom.
Amen.
That was prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Boy, I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day. You talk about Simeon saying, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let thy servant depart in peace. You know, I'm going to tell you what, there will be no peace in your life until you see the salvation of the Lord. There will be no peace in you. You won't live in peace. You won't die in peace if you never see the salvation of God. If you don't see Jesus Christ as that salvation of the Lord. I want you to reveal the thoughts of your heart. Whether you know it or not, you're revealing them to people every day. Whether you know it or not. I want the thoughts of your heart to be revealed on the good side of the fulcrum. I want your house to be built upon the rock. I want you to build your house on the rock. You know, it didn't say he built that house for you, did it? He said, you build that house. What kind of house are you building? And what are you building it with? Build it on the rock and use the good stuff to build it with, the stuff that can't be torn down or burned up by fire. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Doors of our church are open for reception of members should you have a desire to let your thoughts of your heart be revealed to this people and to give glory to God. I pray the Lord will bless you all with safety as you travel and bless you with wonderful fellowship with your families during this time of the year. Remember, Jesus is the salvation of God. May God bless you.